Michel.
Thank you. Before I start speaking about the matter of my paper, I would like to give all my thanks to Professor Anna Marmodoro, who allowed me to visit the center, and to Martin Pickup, who organized my travel and my stay in Oxford. I must also beg your pardon of my mistakes of English.
Most of us are
Thank you. Perhaps it would be useful that I introduce my present reflection in the context of a more large preoccupation. Before I was interested by analytical metaphysics, I studied Aristotle and Thomas Aquinas as an historian of philosophy. Then, I have been interested by solving puzzles of analytical metaphysics, either living continuation of Aristotelian problems. During this paper, I would like to bring some precision that seems to me to be important for the theory of powers. As it is well known, theory of powers has been conceived as anti-union and, on the contrary, as neo-Lockean, in the case of John Hale, for instance, or as neo-Aristotelians, in the cases of Oderberg, of Anthony Peirce, of Barbara Vetter, for instance. I have not very much to say about the Lockean feature of the power theory. On the contrary, I am busy by the neo-Aristotelian side of the theory. That is not to say that power's theory is not fundamentally a neo-Aristotelian theory. It seems to me difficult not to see that the idea that some beings, objects, have powers and act following what they are is an idea of Aristotle. Following Aristotle, substances have powers to act and to be acted. They have potentialities. Following him, these potentialities, passive or active, are parts of what these things are. All this is not dubious. But what seems to me more puzzling is that Aristotle claims clearly that despite the fact that potentiality and powers are part of the reality, he holds strongly that actuality, or activity as it is translated now, act, is first according not only to understanding, but also according to being. According to him, act as an ontological priority on potentiality. During his examination of the problem of categorical dispositional properties, Oderberg says only that there is always a mix of actuality and potentiality. From another point of view, Vetter sees actuality as a complete manifestation of powers, and also as the meeting of all the conditions for a thing to be. Probably that second idea is not false, but it seems to have some human flavor. She also simply says that powers have bearers. I do not disagree, but it seems to me that there is something insufficient here. Perhaps it is sufficient to answer to human philosophy and to get a more consistent idea of modalities, but I am dubious that it is enough to get a complete ontological analysis of a bearer of powers in terms of powers. That is exactly my point. I would like to get a more precise view of how a bearer of powers is also an actual reality determined or determinate by a form. Aristotle seems to bring the solution by the idea that form is also an act. That potentiality is contained in a matter that offers more possibilities than the present actualized reality. I assume that the world is furnished by objects or things. It is more suitable to speak here of substance. Substances are not only basic substances, neither simple substances. PHA to John Hill. Substances are basic autonomous beings on which depends other beings or ways of being. For instance, a color depends on the thing colored. If the thing colored disappears, the color disappears also. I also assume clearly the critics of Humean laws, causality and properties, substances act on other substances. Then laws are the description of how they act for the most of the cases. Nancy Cartwright has spoken of this feature of the law, as law is true for the most cases, not for all cases. And it seems to me that it is a renewal of the idea of Aristotle physics, for instance. The problem we have to examine in this condition is that we can predicate of things or substance what it is, or what it can be and can do by its power. Here's the problem of relation between categorical properties and aorism. Here is a problem of relation between categorical properties and modal properties. If we agree with the idea that substances not only have powers, but are powers or disposition, we are obliged to reduce our predication to modal predication. And if we say that substances are so and so, we are obliged to reduce our predication to categorical predication. That is not to say that I take predication or logical modality to be an ontological analysis. But it is surely an indication, some kind of symptom. Following a realist point of view, predication to be true must correspond to ontology. Then, if modal predication of possibility corresponds to something in a thing, and if categorical predication corresponds also to something, we must precise the relation between these two ways of being in the things, in the substances. Perhaps when I speak categorical predication is not exactly the categorical predication of analytic metaphysics, but the categorical predication of Aristotle without modality. Something is a horse, for instance. Some indications of vocabulary are necessary here. Until here, we have spoken indifferently of powers or of dispositions. The preferred terms would be potentiality, passive or passivity, and powers for actual active powers. In fact, when someone analyzes a classical instance of dispositions, like the fragility of a glass, it is easy to distinguish between the fragility of the glass and the power of the stone breaking the glass. This distinction overlaps, in this case, the energetic asymmetry. The stone is breaking the glass in virtue of its energetic charge. The energetic dissymmetry shows the active power of the stone and the passive disposition of the glass. And we can see a two-faces phenomenon, the breaking stone and the broken glass. It is even possible to see that the glass is being broken exactly when the stone is also being breaking. One can speak of dispositions of the glass as potentiality and of disposition of the stone as power. Potentiality means also a possibility to be. In this case, a possibility to be broken. That is why Vetter and also Alexander Preuss show that potentiality is an ontological basis for the logical modality of possibility. The disposition to be broken, the fragility of the glass, and the disposition of the stone to break are brought respectively by the glass and by the stone. Then the question is to know if the glass is the same as the disposition to be broken and if the stone is the disposition to break. To this question, it is not possible to answer without to know what the stone is or what the glass is. One can yet remark, at the linguistic level, that to see that glass is fragility is not a very well formulated expression. From these preliminaries, I would try now to examine 3 points. What means for the bearer of dispositions to be substances? What is the link between dispositions and substances? And at the end, I would bring the support of some text of Aristotle to my analysis. First, I suggested that the world is made of particular objects with a particular way of being different of other beings. For instance, this blue have not the same way of being as this blue object. The horse has not the same way of being as the gallop of the horse. The green color of this apple has not the same way of being as the apple. Why is it possible to make this distinction? Because the horse may cease to gallop and nevertheless continuing to be the horse it is. Because the apple can become ripe and red without ceasing to be the apple it is. On the contrary, if you hit the apple, its color, red or yellow, disappears also. If the poor horse comes to die, his gallop dies also. It is impossible to conclude that there is a different way of being the color and being the apple between the horse and his gallop. The difference shows the difference between objects that are substances and other realities that are not substances but accident in classical or scholastical vocabulary. Substances are necessary the substances they are. Because if the horse is no more a horse, he is simply no more. On the contrary, the apple is possibly green or red. Its color moves without it cease to be the apple that it is. That is not to say that necessity is the reason why a substance is a substance, or that possibility is the reason why accidents are accidents. The modalities in these cases are consequences and sales, but not the reason and the definition. Modalities are on the logical level, and an ontological analysis. Our previous instances put in line the dependency of accidents on substances. Accidents disappear with substances, and it is not the case for substances. Hence, there is an ontological dissymmetry between substances and non-substances. This asymmetry can be featured as ground. Substances are ground for accidents. Substances are also bearers of determinations. A horse is a horse, and partakes this determination with all the other authors. There is something like universality present in substances. The Heider-Armstrong universal woolly presence in things. Nevertheless, as substances are also individuals, thus universality is numerically divided. This means that different substances of the same species are of the same kind, but that what makes of individual substances part of the kind is not numerically the same for the substances of the same kind. In more concrete terms, if we consider two substances of the same kind, say two cats, they both possess felinity. Nevertheless, each possesses its proper felinity. The felinity of Tibble is not numerically the same as the felinity of Felix, but they are both felinity, and felinity is a universal determination of being cat present in each cat. Felinity is numerically divided because it is joined to different bodies of cats. However, the two cats are equally cats. About substances, Hume left us with the choice between properties or something we do not know what. Substances are not properties because a collection of properties lacks unity, and because properties are universals and substances are concrete particulars. Substances are neither an indeterminate substratum, because substances are the most determinate beings. As we see them acting, they show us a special autonomy. What substances are must be, what makes them the most an autonomous determinate things? Another feature of substances are unity. They are the most unifying beings. I has noted this point, and even Hume following his way. It is a fact that a collection of properties is thought to be a unity. Nevertheless, there are several ways of unity. Unity of a country is not the same as unity of an individual man. Heil understands unity as simplicity. He is probably right, but he is also probably wrong when he sees unity in the simple elements. Simplicity, or better, unity of substance, does not consist in relation to the indivisible elements. Unity of substance means unity of something that is more than the addition of elements, a unity given to elements by form. For instance, is the substance of a horse is cells. If they are cells, they are not horses. Cells of a horse are not very different of cells of a man. They are all compound of proteins. They are divided following the same functional divisions, cells of blood, cells of bones, of skin, and so on. Nevertheless, cells of horses are different by the information they bring. Genetic information is not the same in the case of horse or in the case of man. In chemistry, we can also have the same elements only different by their proportion, a kind of information. I conclude that what gives to the substances the unity and the autonomy they have is a radical information. A more radical information than the information of the accidents. Accidents, like the green of this apple, is less radical than the information of this apple because an apple may be green or red. What makes substances to be as we find them is substantial form, substantial determination. Now that we hold this conception of substances, we are able to examine the problem of disposition and categorical properties. Point 2, substances as bearers of disposition. Dispositions are parts of reality. It is not necessary to appeal to possible world to justify modalities. What support modal, as well as categorical predication, is reality. But reality, as we have seen during the distinction between substance and accident, is not always the same. Potentiality is a part of reality as well as actuality. That is to say that before its manifestation, a potentiality is also a part of reality. Before the stone breaks, the glass fragility is here in the glass. If it would not be the case, it would be difficult to understand why it corresponds to the stimulus by its manifestation, breaking. This realist view of potentiality entails that reduction of potentiality to conditionals or to the heavy apparatus of possible worlds are not the good solution to an ontological understanding of dispositions. I still remark that the term categorical can refer to real actual determinations, even if, according to the mainstream language, it refers to properties only. If you say that a horse is an animal, you refer to a real horse, and your affirmative sentence means that he is actually an animal. It seems to be obvious that to be a horse is also to have some activities, like respiration, blood circulation, a beating heart, etc. Other activities are possible but not necessary. Horse can gallop or trot or march, but horse can also gallop because its heart is beating. If one wants to go deeper, it will be necessary to deepen the ontological internal structure of the horse. Sure, horses, like many other animals, are made of bones, blood, flesh, etc. But they do not differ very much from other mammals on this basis. They are made of the same basic elements, proteins. It is possible to deepen until proteins common to all living beings. That is why proteins are called proteins without other specification. In this line of decomposition of which elements something is made of, it is very probable that an infinite regress is possible. For the moment, we seem to be stopped by the Higgs boson, but no one knows if there is not another particle deeper. That is the truth of the infinite regress argument, that in this line of our thing is made of, we are deemed to discover that bones are possible because of some type of cells. These types of cells are possible because of subtypes of proteins, these proteins because of some chemical elements, and so on. Probably until the possibility of all possibilities, that is to say, until infinite. That kind of infinite regress entails that it is in fact impossible. By definition and by hypothesis, this possibility of all possibilities is only possibility, potentiality, and nothing actual in the world. If we never access to it. But you have surely remarked that proteins cannot only by themselves be a horse, because there are a lot of other animals built of proteins, of blood cells, of muscular tissues, in each of these levels, elements, proteins, cells, these realities offer their determinate possibilities. However, to be a determinate animal of certain kin, they must still be determinate. This determination is the contrary of the relative indeterminate possibilities of the low level. What is determining the low level to become higher level is form. I call form an information determining the low level. Sure, the low level must be able to be determined, but informational form is necessary to determine it. This appears clearly in the biology of reproduction or in embryology. Which is absolutely necessary is a transmission of information. And this information is clearly also active. In embryology, this activity is very quick and strong from the beginning of the cellular division of the first embryonic cell. This analysis is not limited to biology. It is also valuable for artificial things. The maker introduces a form in a matter. The carpenter determines by a form a piece of wood to be a table or chair. Wood offers a strength. The issue is an object or a living being where form is an active ground. The activity of form consists in its active power to manifest the potentiality brought by the matter. Wood is strong, that it can be used to make a table. But the manifestation of the strength of the world as table does not exhaust all the potentiality of the wood. Wood can be used to make a boat, a sculpture, to be used to make fire, etc. Wood offers its strength, its buoyancy, its potentiality to be burnt. All this possibility are dependent on the fact that it is a piece of wood. That allows to conclude that to be wood is to have a formal active determination of elements, like carbon and others, as wood. And in the same time, to be able to become a table or boat, to be wood, entail all these possibilities, this potentiality. The form wood is categorical and dispositional. It is categorical in the sense of a first act manifesting the potentiality of the component element and entailing other potentialities. That is to say that form exercises an active power on the matter of which objects are made. This entails also that form is activity and power, hence form is categorical as a determination and dispositional as it has the power of determining. In the same way, proteins are determined by the form horse to be horse, the potentialities are manifested by the equinity, the power of the form horse, equinity, active proteins to be horse. Some potentialities are manifested by the active power of the internal ground, like in the case where the horse gallops by itself. Other potentialities need to be actualized by an external agent in the case where there is not a so powerful internal ground of activity. That is the case of inanimate object, for instance. I would like to stress that from this point of view, all the potentialities are contained in determinate objects or substances. Hence, all the reality is constituted by limited and definite things. That is why it is possible to say that they act according to what they are. There is no place for one does not know what, except as a metaphysical hypothesis of a pure potentiality which is nothing in the world. Then, to sum up, there are substances. The internal ground of substances is a form which is also act and active. Then form as simultaneously determinative and active disposition. In other words, form is an active power. However, there is plus for potentialities because of the determination is also a disposition to be acted. This point seems to me to be what means John Hale when he says that a property is both a quality and a disposition. Potentialities may be manifested and acted by an internal ground in living beings, for instance, powers of acquiring powers, the power to learn cello and the power ability to play cello, or by an external agent in animate beings. That organization of substances, it entails as first act, the first act as ground. That was my proper point. From this point of view, substances are active by their active ground. That means that they have an internal activity as well as an external one. According to this view, substances are an active cause of knowledge. They inform senses and intellect because they are active bearers of information. Senses receive, for instance, the actual colors of objects because colored substance causes the eyes to be moved by an active information. This information may be measured by the length of the wave emitted by the color. As Aristotle claims, the substance is a mover of senses, in this case of the sight. That is what it is possible to categorically say, this horse is gray. In fact, it is also possible to translate the sentence in a modal predication. I necessarily see, actually, a gray horse. When one opens his eye in front of a gray horse, he cannot not to see it, if he has a good sight, clearly. To be a visible color, gray, is a double fast property, acting on sight and determining the thing to be gray colored. Gray color, then, is categorical and dispositional. The horse is gray, and it is informing your sight that it is a bearer of this color. The informative active power of substances is only a case of causality. Substances act upon other substances. On one side, they are active causes. On another side, they are in return affected by the substances on which they exercise their causality. This glass is broken, but the stone loses a part of its energy. The saw cuts the wood, but the saw is worn by the wood. Hence, the substances are interactive because of their double faces, powers and potentialities. This interaction has been well described by Charles Martin. Substances are what they are, and they act following what they are. Nevertheless, they are not reduced to be interrelations. Substances are what they are before to be interrelated because of the primacy of their substantial form. That is to say that this form acts as an eternal ground of substances before the relation occurs. That entails that a relation can move and that the substance can stay the same substance. Substances are ground for relation and not the contrary. We find back to our ontological asymmetry between substances and accidents. Now I would offer some text of Aristotle. Yes, the support of some text of Aristotle. As I have said in my introduction, the claims that I have proposed seems to be a development of Neo-Aristotelianism. I think that can be relied on some text of the best pupil of Plato. For instance, Aristotle begins his study of potentiality offering a definition of potentiality. It tells us that potentiality is a principle, growth, or change by another thing, or by the thing itself as another. It's book theta line. You have the reference here. That means that according to him, or there is a thing that may be changed, or that there is a thing that may change another thing. In other words, there is a passive potentiality, a thing change, or an active potentiality when a reality has a power to change another reality. The potentiality to be changed may be in a thing, and the power to change may be in another thing. For instance, a sculpture is changing the stone into a statue. But the principle of being changed and the power to change may be in some object, in the same object. For instance, an animal has the power to change its place. According to Aristotle, in this case, the soul moves the body of the animal and the animal moves itself. Its soul has the active power to move the legs and the leg to move the animal. Legs have the passive potentiality to be moved by the soul, which has the active power of moving legs. Soul, that is to say form, is here clearly understood by Aristotle as a power and a ground of activity. Historically speaking, Aristotle is probably remembering of the passage of the Sophist of Plato, where the stranger of Hera explains that being and power goes both together. To be is to be acting. Then, in Metaphysics Theta 7, Aristotle explains that there are different degrees of matter. Matter means whose things are made of. He then comes to claim that, I quote, Earth is not yet potentiality a statue, for it must change in order to become a statue. That is to say that for a thing to be potentiality something else means to be able to support a new information without being changed first into an intermediary thing. Earth is not potentiality of a statue, because earth must be first transformed in bronze before being a statue of bronze. In other words, the potential material must be determined to be immediately able to support a new information. The actual quality of bronze, its strength, made the bronze able to be a statue. This quality is both a quantitative determination given to us by fire and a potentiality to become a statue. It is a categorical property, it is to say, a property that may be predicated without modality of the bronze and a dispositional one to become a statue. The analysis of Aristotle points here to the idea that if matter is a potentiality, this matter is always yet determined by some form. To become a statue, bronze must be actually there with all its qualities that allows it to become a statue. During the chapter 8 of the same book, Theta, Aristotle claims that act is prior to potentiality in several senses. One of these senses is that everything that moves are moved in order to an end. According to Aristotle, this end is a form and a ground, or principle. Matter is moved for the sake of attaining its form. Following Aristotle, this form exists before that the new information is received by the matter. Where does it exist then? The Aristotelian answer is that it exists either in the males in the car of living beings, or in the bronze maker in the case of bronze, or in the artist in the case of the statue. In philosophical language, form exists in the efficient cause. the matter, I quote, exists in a potential state just because it may attain to its form. And when it exists actually, then it is in its form. Then Aristotle can conclude that, obviously, therefore, the substance or form is actuality. From this argument, it is obvious that actuality is prior in substance to potentiality. Substances are actually the substance they are by their actual form, as a form gives them the potentiality to be transformed in another substance. Nevertheless, they are first what they are. This double function of form is still what seems to be expressed by the idea of union of categorical and dispositional properties. To conclude, it seems to me that I got my aim and my point, the claim of priority of actuality without reduction to categorical properties, and the conception of a form as an active power as well as a categorical determination. Somebody could claim that I have only spoken of ordinary mesodimensional world. My answer is that I am brought to think that this ordinary world is that which is prior to us. Particles, sense, and other micro-realities may be considered to be the result of a destruction of mesodimensional things. However, it seems that it is possible to understand particles as determinate realities. According to Love, particles are substances and forms. Hoderberg holds a very next thesis and maintains that substantial determination is prior to other properties of particle. This idea does not forbid to conceive that particles have also potentialities, for instance, to evolve from somewhere to somewhere, or to become other particles, or to change from wave to particle. What is only forbidden, according to the hypothesis of particles as substances, is that there is a fundamentally determinate object, in Aristotelian term, a first matter, understood as an actual reality, separated from the determinate substances, whose it is a matter. That is impossible because of the priority of act and form. First matter is always yet actualized in subsubstance by a substantial form. Actual active form is a ground for qualities and properties and for powers as well as for potentialities.